Sokan. الحمد لله على ما من بنا من نعمة الإسلام. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا ولم نكن لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. وأصلي وأسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد، قال الإمام ابن قيم الجوزية عليه رحمة الله: وها هنا للعبد 11 مشهدا فيما يصيبه من أذى الخلق وجنايتهم عليه. He said there are 11 things that a person, Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim, he says in his book Madarij al-Salikin that there are 11 things that a person should observe when dealing with the harms of the creation and their transgressions against him. There's a principle in the religion that says daf'u sa'il bil adna thumma al adna, yani that warding off someone who is trying to harm you is done and with the least amount of force possible, and then the next amount of force. For example, if a person tried to rob you outside, and you put a gun out and shot him in the forehead, we would say that's kind of unnecessary, ya akhi. Maybe you could have said something to him. Maybe you could have shot him in the toe. Maybe you could have got a kneecap. Right? What do you say? We have some disagreement here. Whatever the case, I mention that because the Muslims all across the world and every last one of us can benefit from the minds of the scholars of Islam and how to deal with problems. Some of us, and especially those who are younger from amongst us, sometimes we have poor problem-solving skills. So what I'm going to read tonight from the book of Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim, something that will help us all, inshallah, whenever we face any type of harm or abuse from Allah's creation, and from another human being. Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim, he said, أَحَدُهَا. The first thing that you have to observe, or that you should observe, when you are confronted with the abuse or the harms of another human being. أَلْمَشْحَدُ الَّذِي ذَكَرُهُ الشَّيْخ رَحِمُهُ اللَّهُ وَهُوَ مَشْحَدُ الْقَدَرِ وَأَنَّ جَرَ عَلَيْهِ بِمَشِيئَةُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ وَقَضَائِهِ وَقَدَرِهِ فَيَرَاهُ كَالتَّأَذِّي بِالْحُرِّ وَالْبَرْدِ. He said, or بِالْحَرِّ وَالْبَرْدِ. The Shaykh, he said, the first thing that you have to observe was mentioned by the author of the book that Ibn Qayyim is explaining here. He said, and it is that a person should observe the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That this thing that is happening, or this thing that has happened, is from the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, so it is something that Allah willed, and it is something that Allah determined to occur. And so he sees it to be comparable to the harm that he feels from extreme heat or extreme cold. He deal with it. And if somebody says something negative to you, if somebody abuses you verbally or physically or so on and so forth, if somebody abuses you physically, you have a right to defend yourself. But usually, any of the abuse of the creation that comes, any they like to use any means and ways that are not so apparent. They like to try to be clever in how they harm the creation. So they like to take the back door and harming a person and so on and so forth. So when you go through those sorts of things and dealing with people, whether they're Muslims or non-Muslims, that's how you should look at it. That this is something, it happens. And you should just deal with it. And it's from the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Allah, for a reason, He decreed it to occur for you. And so, He looks at it like heat or cold, وَالْمَرَضِ وَالْأَلَمْ وَحُبُوبُ الرِّيَاحِ وَانْقِتَاعُ الْأَمْتَارِ. He looks at it like sickness or pain, something that happens. Or like the wind when it blows too hard. Or like when it stops raining. All of that is from the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like the abuses and harms of the creation is also from Allah's decree for the person. فَإِنَّ الْكُلْ أَوْجَبَتْهُ مَشِيَعَةُ اللَّهِ جَلَّ وَعَلَى فَمَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ كَانَ وَوَجِبَ وُجُودُهُ وَمَا لَمْ يَشَاءَ لَمْ يَكُنْ وَامْتَنَعَ وُجُودُهُ. He said, and so he sees that all of that is something that was necessitated by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, فَمَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ كَانَ, and whatever Allah wishes to occur is going to happen, and it must happen. And whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not wish to occur, it is impossible for it to happen. وَإِذَا شَهِدَ هَذَا اسْتَرَاحَ وَعَلِمَ أَنَّهُ كَائِنٌ لَا مَحَالَ. When a person witnesses this and he realizes this, he will find rest in his heart, tranquility in his heart, and he will know that this is something that had to happen. فَمَا لِلْجَزَعِ مِنْهُ وَجْهِ. And so he shouldn't feel anguished because of what happens. وَهُوَ كَالْجَزَعِ مِنَ الْحَرِّ وَالْبَرَدِ وَالْمَرَضِ وَالْمَوْتِ. And it is like a person being upset and being anguished because of the heat and the cold and sickness and death. And مَشْهَرُ ثَانِي. The second thing that he should observe, مَشْهَرُ sabr, is the observance of patience. He said, and so he realizes that patience should be shown. وَيَشْهَدُ وُجُوبَهُ. And he witnesses and he realizes that it is mandatory for him to demonstrate that patience. وَحُسْنَ عَقِيبَتِهِ وَجَزَاءَ أَهْلِهِ. And likewise, he witnesses the good outcome that will come about by being patient, and the reward of those who have patience. وَمَا يَتَرَتَّبُ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْغِبْتَةِ وَالسُّرُورِ. And the enviable honor that comes about on account of a person being from those who are patient. And the happiness that he gets and the joy that he gets by being blessed with patience. He said, وَيُخْلِصُهُ مِنَ دَامَةَ الْمُقَابَلَةِ وَالْإِنْتِقَامِ. He said, and being patient will free him from the regret that comes about by him repaying ignorance with ignorance. And it will free him from the regret that comes about by his getting revenge against another human being, especially when that human being is a Muslim. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Imam, from the ulama of the people of Yemen in the city of Ma'bar, he said in his book, At-Tanbiyu al-Hasan fi Mawqif al-Mu'min min al-Fitan, and how to deal with fitna, how to deal with tests when they come your way. He said, الانتقام قبر الأخوة. He said, you should know, brother, that revenge is the grave of brotherhood. That revenge is the grave of brotherhood. And some people, when they see that their brother has mistreated them, or their brother has not treated them as they expected them to treat them, or when they find that their brother has said some things about them, or their honor, or their reputation, they become spiteful against their brother. Al-Imam Ibn Manzur, he said in his book Lisan al-Arab, which is a dictionary that is close to 20 volumes of the Arabic language, he said the definition of al-hiqdu, the definition of spite, he said, imsakul adawa wa tarabbusu bi fursatiha. It is to withhold and it is to conceal one's enmity and wait for the opportunity to strike. This is how some people are. They have a problem with somebody. They smile in their face. They deal with them like nothing ever happened, and they're just waiting for the opportunity. They're just waiting for the opportunity to get back at their brother. A person being patient, from his patience, he will find that he will be free from the regret that comes on account of that, on account of repaying ignorance with ignorance, and on account of getting revenge against his brother. فَمَنْ تَقَمَ أَحَدٌ لِنَفْسِهِ قَتْ إِلَىٰ عَقَبَهُ ذَلِكَ نَدَامَةٌ. He said that no one has ever got revenge for their self, except that that was followed by regret. Aisha radiallahu anha, may Allah be pleased with her, she said about the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he didn't used to get, or that he never got revenge for himself. That he never got revenge for himself. The people, they harmed him. The people, they abused the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they talked ill of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They physically hurt him. They financially hurt the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They put the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions under economic boycott in the city of Mecca before he made Hijrah. They tortured many of his companions. This is how they treated the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Allah told his Messenger, ادفع بالتي هي أحسن. And he repelled that in a way that is best. Defend yourself in a way that is best. فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. And if you do that, then you will find that the one that there is enmity between you and him will become as though he is your avid supporter. He will become as though he is your avid supporter. وَمَا يُلَقَاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا. That will not be acquired and realized except by those who have patience, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. وَمَا يُلَقَاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ يَحْمُكَ اللَّهُ. And that will not be gotten or acquired or realized except by a person who has a tremendous portion of reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the attitude of the Muslim, that he doesn't repay ignorance with ignorance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا وَإِذَا خَاتَبُهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. The servants of Ar-Rahman are those who walk humbly upon the earth. When the ignorant speak to them, they say سَلَامًا. They say salama. The ulama, they say, يقولون كلاما يسلمون به أو بها أو به من الإثم وال من الإثم والظلم. يعني that they say salama, meaning they say words that they are, يعني because we know salama, what does it mean? It means peace, right? Right? يعني peace, the meaning of safety, right? And so they say words that they remain safe from sin and oppression when they say these words. Yani when they say these words, they remain free of sin and oppression. And they don't repay ignorance with ignorance. And some people, that's their approach. And they think that this is shaja'a. They think that that's courage. Al-Shaykh Muqbil ibn Hadi al-Wadi'i rahmatullahi alayhi, the reviver of the sunnah and the king in the kingdom, or it's not the kingdom, yani the nation of Yemen. The nation of Yemen, yani who died a number of years ago. His daughter, she wrote a beautiful biography about her father. And his daughter is also a person of knowledge. She said that the people, they used to come to my father, and they would say that so-and-so said such and such about you. Have you seen what they wrote in the newspapers? Have you seen what so-and-so said about you in a tape? Have you heard this? Have you heard this? And the sheikh, he would say, ذُنُوبِ تَذُرُّنِي أَكْثَرُ. He would say, my sins hurt me worse than that. My sins hurt me worse than whatever them people could say about me. The Salaf, they used to say that what they don't know about me is even worse. What they don't know about me is even worse. And in the majority of cases, when they speak about the people of knowledge and when they speak about the righteous, they usually have to make things up or exaggerate things that may be present, yani exaggerate things and blow things out of proportion and fabricate things against the righteous. And so it reminds us of the statement of the ulama when they said, as Ibn Hazm, he said that the person who speaks about you, he said, وَقَدْ أَبْلَغَ فِي مَدْحِكَ مَنْ ذَمِّكَ مَنْ ذَمَّكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ فِيكَ فَإِنَّهُ نَبَّحَ عَلَى فَضْلِكَ. He said that the person who says something negative about you that isn't true about you, he has gone to great lengths to praise you because he has brought attention he has brought your virtue to the attention of the people, meaning that he couldn't find anything true to say about you. That was negative. So he had to make something up. So this person has, in reality, they have gone to great lengths to praise you. Because those who really know you, they know that those things aren't true about you. The daughter of Sheikh Muqbil, she said, my father, he reminded me of the statement of the poet. When he said, إِذَا بْتُولَيْتَ بِخَصْمِ مَنْ لَا خَلَقَ لَهُ فَكُنْ كَأَنَّكَ لَمْ تَسْمَ وَلَمْ يَقُلْ. A poet once said that when you are afflicted with being in a dispute with a person who has no character, then behave as though you didn't hear anything and he didn't say anything. Behave as though you didn't hear anything and he didn't say anything. A person behaves ignorantly. Hey, what does that harm you? If you're in the grocery store and somebody says something negative to you, or even something negative to your wife, I mean, if somebody wants to get rowdy, we could get rowdy, right? You know, we could protect ourselves and so on and so forth. You know, we're not scared. Hey, but if somebody just has something negative to say, how is that going to harm you? So some people, they think that it's from courage to repay ignorance with ignorance and to repay any misbehavior, a misdeed with a misdeed. So the Shaykh, he said that no person has ever got revenge for himself, and for himself, except that that was followed by regret. وَعَلِمَ أَنَّهُ إِنْ لَمْ يَصْبِرْ اِخْتِيَارًا عَلَى هَذَا وَهُوَ مَحْمُودٌ صَبِرَ اِضْتِرَارًا عَلَى أَكْبَرِ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ مَضْمُومٌ. And he came to know that if, or a person knows, that if he is not patient willingly, if he is not patient willingly over the abuses of the creation, and this is something that is praiseworthy, then he will be forced to be patient with what is even worse than that. He will be forced to be patient with what is even worse than that, and that is something that is dispraiseworthy. He said, المشهد الثالث, مشهد العفو والصفح والحلم. He said the third thing a person should observe is forgiving the people. Is that he should observe pardoning people and overlooking the faults of the people, and he should have forbearance with the people. فَإِنَّهُ مَتَى شَهِدَ ذَلِكَ وَفَضْلَهُ وَحِلَاوَتَهُ وَعِزَّتَهُ لَمْ يَعْدِلُ عَنْهُ. He said, when a person realizes the virtue of doing that, and the sweetness of doing that, and the honor of doing that, of forgiving the people while you have the ability to get revenge, he said, then he will never, when he realizes the virtue of that, then he will never leave from it. He said, فَإِنَّهُ كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي حَدِيثِ أَبِي كَبَشَةَ الْأَنْمَارِي رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُ مَا زَادَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا بِعَفْوٍ إِلَّا عِزَّةٍ. He said, for verily, he realizes, as was said by the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم in the hadith of Abi Kabashat al-Anmari, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Allah does not increase the servant on account of forgiving others in anything except for honor. On account of a person forgiving others, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase him in honor. The mindset of people is 100% different than what the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم informed about. You find some people, they think that, and he's spending time with their family, taking care of their parents when they're old, so on and so forth, and this is something that it wastes their time, or it takes away from their life. While the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he informed that this increases your lifespan, it causes you to live longer, and just as some people think that it causes you to lose your money when you help your family, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, informed us, it causes you to increase your money. And so, there are a number of concepts that the people think, that in doing certain things, that they will lose out in this world. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that sadaqah does not decrease your money whatsoever. Sadaqah does not decrease your money whatsoever. That's part of the same hadith. That's part of the same hadith. وَمَا تَوَاضَعَ أَحَدٌ لِلَّهِ إِلَّا رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ. And no one lowers himself for Allah except that Allah will raise him. وَمَا زَادَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا بِعَفْوٍ إِلَّا عِزَّةٍ. And the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not increased by Allah in anything on account of his forgiving the creation except in honor. And so the mindset of the people is 100% different. Most people is 100% different than what is the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They think that in being righteous, they're going to lose out in their wealth. They're going to lose out in their honor and so on and so forth. They think that in obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're going to be humiliated and they're going to be low and so on and so forth. And so the servant, when he is afflicted with the people who show him disrespect or people who abuse him, and in whatever way they do that, and then he realizes the importance of pardoning the creation and showing forbearance with the creation. He said, هَذَا وَفِي الصَّفْحِ وَالْعَفْوِ وَالْحِلْمِ مِنَ الْحَلَاوَةِ وَتُؤْمَنِينَةِ وَالسَّكِينَةِ وَالشَّرْفِ النَّفْسِ وَعِزِّهَا وَرُفْعَتِهَا عَنْ تَشَفِيهَا بِالْإِنْتِقَامِ أَلَيْسَ شَيْءٌ مِنْهُ فِي الْمُقَابَلَةِ وَالْإِنْتِقَامِ. He said, this is the case, and the person will find that in letting things go and pardoning the creation and showing forbearance, that he will experience sweetness and peace and tranquility and honor and rif'ah and being raised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on account of his not getting revenge. That will be on a level that is incomparable to anything else. Al-mashhar al-rabi', the fourth thing that he must observe is al-ridha, is to be content. He said, وَهُوَ فَوْقَ مَشْهَدُ الْعَفْوِ وَصَفْحُ وَهَذَا لَا يَكُونُ إِلَّا لِلنُّفُوسِ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةِ سِيَّمَا إِنْ كَانَ مَا عُصِيبَتْ بِهِ سَبَبُهُ الْقِيَامُ لِلَّهِ. He said, the fourth thing is that a person, he should be pleased. He should be pleased with what happens. He should be pleased with what happens. He said, this is even higher than just pardoning people and overlooking what they did. He said, and this will not be found in anyone except for those souls that have tranquility. He said, especially if they are being harmed because they are establishing the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِذَا كَانَ مَا أُصِيبُ بِهِ فِي اللَّهِ وَفِي مَرْضَتِهِ وَمَحَبَّتِهِ رَضِيَتْ بِمَا نَالَهَا فِي اللَّهِ. He said, and so if a person is being harmed for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is being harmed doing something that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then his soul is pleased with whatever he encounters for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was a scholar of hadith and a scholar of fiqh who was known as At-Tartushi. They said that on one occasion he entered the masjid of his people, and the emir, the governor of the people, and he was praying in a way that was incorrect. And so he corrected him. Afwan, that's a different story. They said that he entered into this masjid and he prayed in a way that was different than the people in his area. The people in his land, they prayed one way and he prayed another way. And these people, they were muta'asibun. They were muta'asibun for their particular madhab. I believe they were Hanafi. And they were very ignorant. As a matter of fact, they weren't ignorant, they were ignorant. They were ignorant. And we still find in many places in the Muslim world that if you pray according to the sunnah of al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are people who, and he may expel you from the masjid while you're praying, drag you out of the masjid while you're praying, ban you from the masjid. This occurs in some Muslim lands because the people are ignorant, right? Whatever the case, and it was said to him that the emir, that the governor of the land, that he was upset because he came into the masjid and he prayed like that. And this was to show disrespect for the ruler. And he said that he wanted to kill him. And while he was praying, they said the man, he went and he tried to intercept and say, this is a scholar, and he's like this and he's like that, and he has his own views and he has his proof and his evidence, and don't be upset with him and so on and so forth. The point of the story is what happened when he left the masjid. When he finally left the masjid, they said, Al-Amir hamma ala qatlik. They said, the Amir, he wanted to kill you. He wanted to kill you because he said that was disrespectful what you did. And he said, who am I that I will be killed for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't deserve something like that. Who am I? What level am I in that I deserve to be killed for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for practicing the truth? And so the Shaykh, he said, so the person that he has harmed for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, this person, he is pleased with what happens. And he is content with what happens. He said, وَهَذَا شَأْنُ كُلِّ مُحِبٍ صَادِقٍ يَرْضَ بِمَا يَنَالُهُ فِي رِضَ مَحْبُوبِهِ مِنَ الْمَكَارِهِ. He said, this is the reality of every person who truly loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is truthful, and is truthful in their belief. He said, they are pleased with whatever happens to them, as long as that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter what happens of difficulty, they are pleased with that. He said, and when the person, when he is displeased and when he complains, كَانَ ذَلِكَ دَلِيلًا عَلَى كَذَبِهِ عَلَى كَذَبِهِ فِي مَحَبَّتِهِ وَالْوَاقِعُ شَاهِدٌ بِذَلِكَ وَالْمُحِبُّ صَادِقُ كَمَا قِيلَ مِنْ أَجْلِكَ. I'm not going to translate poetry. The Shaykh, he said, so he is pleased with whatever he encounters for the sake of the one that he loves, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he complains, if a person complains and he is upset and he is angry with what happens, then that is a sign that he is not true in his love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, وَلَا يَخَافُونَ فِي اللَّهِ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ, that they do not fear the blame of the blamers when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَرْضِعْ بِمَا يُصِيبُهُ فِي سَبِيلِ مَحْبُوبِهِ فَلِيَنْزِلْ عَنْ دَرَجَةِ الْمَحَبَّةِ وَلِيَتَأَخَّرْ فَلَيْسَ مِنْ ذَا شَأْنِ. He said, and whoever is not pleased with what he encounters for the sake of the one that he loves, then he should realize that he should step down from claiming that he loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly. He said, and he should step back because that is not his affair. He should step back because that is not his affair. The fifth thing that a person witnesses and observes when he is harmed by the creation, وَهُوَ أَرْفَعُ مِمَا قَبْلَهُ, and this is even higher than what came before it. This is even higher than what the Shaykh just mentioned. He said, مَشْهَدُ الْإِحْسَانِ. He said that he realizes ihsan. He realizes the kindness that the person has shown him who has mistreated him. He realizes the kindness that they have shown him. And this will be explained. He said, this is even a higher level. Alaykum salam. He said, وَهُوَ أَنْ يُقَابِلْ إِسَاءَةَ الْمُسِيءِ إِلَيْهِ بِالْإِحْسَانِ فَيُحْسِنُ إِلَيْهِ كُلَّمَا أَسَاءَ هُوَ إِلَيْهِ. He said, and likewise, that's a different level. That's a level of shukr. What he means by ihsan here is that he should repay ignorance with kindness. So the person who treats him ignorant, he should be kind to him. He said, this is even higher than what was before it. He said, and it is that he repays mistreatment with kind treatment. He says, so the more a person mistreats him, the kinder he is to that person. وَيَهُونُ هَذَا عَلَيْهِ عِلْمُهُ وَيُهَوِّنُ هَذَا عَلَيْهِ عِلْمُهُ بِأَنَّهُ قَدْ رَبِحَ عَلَيْهِ وَأَنَّهُ قَدْ أَهْدَى إِلَيْهِ حَسَنَاتِهِ وَمَحَاهَا مِنْ صَحِيفَتِهِ وَأَثْبَتَهَا فِي صَحِيفَةٍ مَنْ أَسَاءَ إِلَيْهِ. He said, and this becomes easy for a person to do, to repay ignorance with kindness, when he realizes that he is the one who profited and he is the one who gained, and that this person has just given him some of his deeds. That this person has given him some of his deeds and he has erased his deeds from his record of deeds for his benefit. وَأَثْبَتَهَا فِي صَحِيفَةٍ مَنْ أَسَاءَ إِلَيْهِ. And he placed them in the record of deeds of the person that he mistreated. فَيَنْبَغِي لَكَ أَنْ تَشْكُرَهُ. He says, so you should be grateful to him. وَتُحْسِنُ إِلَيْهِ بِمَا لَا نِسْبَةَ لَهِ إِلَّا مَا أَحْسَنَ بِهِ إِلَيْكِ. He said, and you should repay him in a way that is, and there is, And you should repay him. Yani, even more. You should repay him even more than what he gave you. وَهَا هُنَا يَنْفَعُ إِسْتِحْذَارُ مَسْأَلَةِ اِقْتِضَاءِ الْحِبَّةِ ثَوَابِ وَهَذَا الْمِسْكِينَ قَدْ وَهَبَكَ حَسَنَتِهِ فَإِنْ كُنْتَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكَرَمِ فَأَثِبْهُ عَلَيْهَا. He said, so a person, he should realize the issue that the people's deeds will be exchanged on the day of judgment. Those who did oppression, they will have to give their deeds to those that they oppressed. He said, this poor, unfortunate person, he has given you a tremendous gift by giving you his deeds. He said, if you are a kind and generous person, then reward him for that. Reward him for that in order to secure his gift that he gave to you. He said, وَفِي هَذَا حِكَيَاتٌ مَعْرُوفَ عَنْ أَرْبَابِ الْمَكَارِمُ وَأَهْلِ الْعَزَائِمِ. And there are a number of stories that are known from the people in the past who are noble in their character and who have strong determination concerning the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, likewise, وَيُهَوِّنُهُ عَلَيْكَ أَيْضًا عِلْمُكَ بِأَنَّ الْجَزَى مِنْ جِنْسِ الْعَمَلِ فَإِنْ كَانَ هَذَا عَمَلُكَ فِي إِسَاءَةِ الْمَخْلُوقِ إِلَيْكَ عَفَوْتَ عَنْكَ عفوت عنه وأحسنت إليه مع حاجتك وضعفك وفقرك وذلك فهكذا يفعل المحسن القادر العزيز الغني جل جلاله بك في إساءتك يقابلها بما قابلت به إساءة عبده إليك. He said, likewise, what will make it easy for you to do this is for you to know that you will be rewarded according to what you do. You will be rewarded according to what you do. He said, and so when a creature mistreats you, and you forgive them, when a creature misbehaves towards you, and you forgive them, and you show kindness to them, despite the fact that you are weak, and that you are low, then likewise the one who is the all-kind, Tabaraka wa ta'ala, who is all-capable of doing everything, who is almighty and who is free of need of the entirety of his creation. He said, likewise, this is how he will deal with your misbehavior. This is how he will deal with your misbehavior. He will repay what you did according to how you repaid that person. He will deal with you according to how you dealt with that person. فَهَذَا لَابُدَّ مِنْهِ وَشَاهِدُهُ فِي السُنَّةِ مِنْ وُجُوحٍ كَثِيرًا لِمَنْ تَعَمَّلَهَا. He said, and this is something that is for sure, that Allah will deal with you like you deal with the creation. Allah will deal with you like you deal with the creation. He said, there are a number of things in the sunnah of al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that teach us that for the one who contemplates over the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The sixth thing is that a person, he should observe as-salama wa barad al-qalb. And he should, and his heart, he should keep his heart clean. And he should allow his heart to find coolness and tranquility, despite what people do towards him. He said, and this is that a person does not busy his heart. He does not busy his heart with what he encounters of harm from the creation. Sheikh Abdul Rahman Asadi says somewhere similar to this. He said in his book about how to live a happy life, he said that when a person harms you, that the harm that they do towards you can only hurt you as much as you let it. It can only hurt you. They can only hurt you with what they say and what they do as much as you let them. You see, some people, they'll dwell on it. Some people, they're still talking about something that happened in high school. They pass by somebody in the street, And they still got a chip on their shoulder for something that happened when they were 16, 17 years old. Some people, they'll go to the grave with a grudge. So a person, who has strong iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he has a strong intellect, he'll realize that when people mistreat him, that can only harm him, that can only hurt him as much as he lets it. He said, but rather, the person, he should empty his heart of even thinking about it. He shouldn't busy himself with it, and he shouldn't even think about it. He should empty his heart from even thinking about it or busying himself with it. He said, وَيَرَى أَنَّ سَلَامَتُهُ وَبَرْدَهُ وَخُلُوَهُ مِنْهُ أَنْفَعُ لَهُ وَأَلَذُّ وَأَطْيَبُ وَأَعْوَنُ عَلَى مَصَالِحِهِ. But he sees, because he sees that the peace of his heart and the coolness of his heart and for his heart to be emptied of that is more beneficial for him than to busy himself with it. And this is more enjoyable for him, and it is purer for him, and it will help him more to accomplish those things that are to his advantage. فَإِنَ الْقَلْبِ إِذَا اشْتُغِلَ بِشَيْءٍ فَاتَهُ مَا هُوَ أَهَمُّ عِنْدَهُ. He said, because when the heart is busy with something, then it may miss out on what is even more important. When the heart is busy with something, it may miss out on what is even more important. You see that in some communities, the biggest obstacle for the people in progress is not the kuffar, is not some outside factors, and it is them. As Sheikh Muqbil used to say, Wallahi, la nakhafu ala da'watina illa min anfusina. He used to say, by Allah, we don't fear for our da'wah from anyone but us. We don't fear for our da'wah from anyone but us. Because no one can mess it up like we can mess it up. But you see what the Shaykh just mentioned. That when the heart is busied with something, when the heart is busied with something, that it will miss out on what is more important. So you see the people busied with nonsense. Something happens in the community, 4, 5, 6 weeks later, 5, 6 months later, you find that people are still talking about it. Find that people are still talking about it. Bringing it back up. Talking about, I mean, what happened, and so-and-so did such and such, so-and-so did this and that to this one or that one or the third. And so when the people busy their hearts with these things, it busies them away from what is more important. And that is what the shaitan wants. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Inna shaitana qad ayasa an ya'budahu al-musalluna fi jazirat al-arab, walakin fi tahrishi baynakum." He said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, the shaitan has lost all hope that those who perform this salat should ever worship him in the Arabian Peninsula. But rather, he wishes to cast tahrish, rancor between you. Spite, grudges between you. Al-Imam al-Baghawi, he said, at-tahrish ilqa al-khusuma wal-khushunati baynahum. He said that the meaning of tahrish is the shaitan causes the people to argue with one another. And the shaitan causes them to be rough and harsh with one another. And so the people, they're busied with one another. When we were in Mecca last year, one of the students of knowledge said that one of the scholars had told him that he believes that the people of the Sunnah in this country are being punished by being busied with themselves because they are not busy doing what they're supposed to be doing and teaching their families a religion and calling the kuffar to Islam. And so Allah punished them by busying them with themselves. Busying themselves with the faults of one another. And not to say that we should just overlook every mistake and every fault. But those things, they have a way that they're dealt with. They have a way that they're dealt with. And they're dealt with wisdom. They're usually dealt with in private unless it's unavoidable to deal with them in public. But this is the reality. This is the reality that sometimes we get busied on account of our hearts being messed up and torn up about something that happened, or busy with something that happened, we get busied away from what is more important than that and what is more beneficial for us than that. فَيَكُونُ بِذَلِكَ مَغْبُونًا. And so the person, on account of that, he becomes cheated. He cheated himself. He cheated himself. He said the intelligent person, لَا يَرْضَ بِذَلِكَ. He'll never be pleased with that. He said, وَيَرَى أَنَّهُ مِنْ تَصَرُّفَاتِ السَّفِيحِ. And he sees that this is how foolish people behave. فَأَيْنَ سَلَامَةُ الْقَلْبِ مِنْ امْتِلَائِهِ بِالْغِلِّ وَالْوَسَاوِسِ وَعِمَالِ الْفِكْرِ فِي إِدْرَاكِ الْإِنْتِقَامِ. He said, how can a person ever find peace in his heart who has filled his heart with animosity and filled his heart with the whispers of his soul and the whispers of the shaitan, and who has busied his mind with how he can get revenge against his brother or against another? The seventh thing that a person should observe is al-aman, yani the importance of safety. The importance of yani safety. He said that he realizes إذا ترك المقابلة والانتقام, and he realizes that when he doesn't deal with a thing by repaying ignorance with ignorance, and he doesn't get revenge for himself, that he will be safe from what is worse than it. He will be safe from what is worse than it. He said, وَإِذَا انْتَقَمْ, and when he gets revenge for himself, وَاقِعُهُ الْخَوْفُ وَلَابُدْ, and then his reality is that he will be in a state of fear. And that is something that is for sure. He said, because that causes al-adawa, that causes enmity. When he gets revenge, then that causes enmity in the heart of the person that he got revenge from, and enmity in his heart. And al-aqil la ya'manu aduwahu, and a person who is intelligent knows that he is never safe from his enemy. And so he has a problem with somebody, and he gets revenge, and now this person turns into a full-fledged enemy. Some of the people in the past, they said that 1,000 friends are not too much, and one enemy is too many. 1,000 friends are not too many friends, and one enemy is too many enemies. And this is the reality. So the person who has an enemy, he makes an enemy out of another person, and he can never feel safe. It wouldn't be smart for him to feel safe from the harms of this person. He said, وَالْعَاقِلُ لَيَأْمَنُ عَدُوَهُ وَلَوْ كَانَ حَقِيرًا. He said, no matter how low and despicable this enemy might be, this person, they might be somebody who doesn't have any ability to do anything. Maybe someday, somehow, some way, they'll get you back. They'll get you back. So a person, he doesn't feel safe from his enemy no matter how small they are. He said, فَكَمْ مِنْ حَقِيرٍ أَرْدَ عَدُوَهُ الْكَبِيرُ. How many people who are very low and weak have destroyed their great enemy. فَإِذَا غَفِرْ وَلَمْ يَنْتَقِمْ وَلَمْ يُقَابِلْ آمِنَ مِنْ تَوَلُّدُ الْعَدَاوَةِ وَزِيَادَتِهَا. He says, so when a person forgives and he doesn't get revenge and he doesn't repay ignorance with ignorance, then he is safe from enmity creating more enmity, and he giving birth to more enmity and increasing enmity between the people. He said, likewise, from what he observes, the eighth thing that he observes, he said, Mashhadul Jihad, is that he observes that what he encounters of harm from the creation for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is part of struggling for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is a great reward in that. He says, so he sees that this is from struggling for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ordering the good and forbidding the evil, and establishing the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and raising the religion of Allah and the words of Allah and the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, وَصَاحِبُ هَذَا الْمَقَامِ قَدْ أَشْتَرَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُ نَفْسَهُ وَمَالَهُ وَعُرْضَهُ بِأَعْظَمِ الثَّمَنِ. He said, so the person who is upon this level, who realizes that he has to be harmed in order to struggle for the sake of Allah and establish the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala amongst the people, he said, the person who does this, he knows that he has sold his soul to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has sold Allah. He has sold Allah his soul. Allah has purchased his soul. And Allah has purchased his wealth. And Allah has purchased his honor, so that he can have the greatest reward, which is the Jannah. He sold that for the Jannah. And so if he sold that for the Jannah, then he has to give it up. Ibn Qayyim said, if he sold that for the Jannah, if he is a person who says he's really struggling for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to establish a religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then if somebody harms you physically, if somebody harms you financially, if somebody harms you verbally, if somebody harms your reputation and your honor, you have sold that for the Jannah. You gave that, you exchanged that for the Jannah. And so if you have made that bargain, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah has purchased from the believers their lives and their property so that Jannah could be for them. So if that is the case, that you have sold that to Allah and it belongs to Him anyways, that you have given that to Allah in exchange for the Jannah, then you're going to have to give it up. You're going to have to give it up when it's time to give it up. You can't just say, I have exchanged my life and my honor and my money for the Jannah, and then something bad happens and you're not willing to give it up. If you say, ya akhi, you know, I'll buy this vehicle off you for $2,000. You know, and I come and I want my money, but I don't want to give you the vehicle. I mean, this is something that doesn't make sense. It's something that's nonsensical. If you have made a business arrangement with somebody, then you have to give up the commodity. And this is a commodity. And the most beautiful thing is that it belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anyways. It belongs to Him anyways. He doesn't benefit by what you gave him. You benefit by what you gave him. So the Shaykh, he said, and so the person who was like this, he said, the person who was like this, he said, فَإِذَا أَرَادَ أَن يُسَلَّمْ إِلَيْهِ ثَمَنُ فَلِيُسَلِّمْ هُوَ السِّلْعَةَ لِيَسْتَحِقْ ثَمْنَهَا. He said, and so when the person wants to receive what he has bartered with, what he has bartered for, when he wants to receive the thaman, when he wants to receive what he has bartered for, then he needs to surrender the merchandise in order to deserve the money, in order to deserve this thaman, in order to deserve this very valuable commodity, or this very valuable thing. فَلَا حَقَ لَهُ عَلَى مَنْ آذَاهُ. And so he realizes that he doesn't have any right over the person who harms him. وَلَا شَيْءَ لَهُ قِبَلَهُ إِنْ كَانَ قَدْ رَضِيَ بِعَقْدِ هَذَا تَبَايُعُ. He said he realizes that he has no right. He has no right when it comes to this situation because he has surrendered that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as long as he was content and pleased with the terms of this agreement. فَإِنَّهُ قَدْ وَجِبَ أَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. And in doing so, his reward is guaranteed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, وَهَذَا ثَبِتٌ بِالنَّصِّ وَإِجْمَعِ الصَّحَابَةِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَلِهَذَا مَنَعَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Listen to the example that he gives. مَنَعَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ مِنْ سُكْنَى مَكَّةَ أَعَزَّهَا اللَّهُ وَلَمْ يَرُدَّ عَلَى أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ دَارَهُ وَلَا مَالَهُ الَّذِي أَخَذَهُ الْكُفَّارُ وَلَمْ يَضْمِنْهُمْ دِيَةً مَنْ قَتَلُوهُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. He said, this is something that has been established by the text of the religion and by the agreement of all of the companions of the Messenger of Allah, radiallahu ta'ala anhum. For this reason, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prohibited the muhajirin from moving back to Mecca. After they had migrated from Mecca, he prohibited them from going back to Mecca. And he didn't return the home of any one of them or the money of any one of them that was taken by the kuffar back to them after they conquered Mecca. After they conquered Mecca, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't take one home or any money that was taken from the companions by the kuffar. He didn't take that money and give it back to them because they had sold that so that the Jannah could be for them. They had sold that. They had made this tabayyur with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, and neither did the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guarantee or advocate for the blood money from those who had killed any of their family members. We know that the kuffar of Mecca, they have fought many battles with the Muslims of Medina. And so when the kuffar entered the fold of Islam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't require any single person who had killed a Muslim to pay blood money. And so this is an example, and that when you surrender something to establish the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you will find it with Allah. You will find it with Allah, and don't expect it from the creation. He said the ninth thing is that a person, they see that this is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, and this is in a number of ways. أَنْ يَشْهَدَ نِعْمَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ فِي أَنْ جَعَلَهُ مَظْلُومًا يَتَرَقَبُ نَصْرٍ وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْهُ ظَالِمًا يَتَرَقَبُ الْمَقْتَى وَالْأَخْذِ. He said, the first thing is that he sees the great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah made him oppressed. That Allah made him oppressed, anticipating the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he did not make him the oppressor, anticipating the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said this is the first way that a person realizes that he has been blessed when he is oppressed. The second thing, أَنْ يَشْهَدَ نِعْمَةُ اللَّهِ فِي التَّكْفِيرِ بِذَلِكَ مِنْ خَطَيَاهُ, is that he realizes and he observes the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Allah erasing his sins on account of the difficulties that he goes through. And that's an extreme blessing. He said, likewise, he sees the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and أَنْ كَوْنَ تِلْكَ الْبَلِيَّةِ أَهْوَنُ وَأَسْهَلُ مِنْ غَيْرِهَا, meaning that this test that he has been afflicted with is lighter and easier than something else. It could have been worse. And so he sees the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah didn't make it something worse. That Allah didn't make it something worse that he might not have the ability to bear. He said, فَإِنَّهُ مَا مِنْ مِحْنَةٍ إِلَّا وَفَوْقَهَا مَا هُوَ أَقْوَى مِنْهَا وَأَمَرْ. He said, because there is no affliction or calamity, except that there is above it that which is stronger, that which is harder, and that which is more bitter. And so when he sees that he wasn't tested with something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he sees that he wasn't tested with something that was worse, then he sees that this is a great favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, and above all of that, a person, he sees the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as much as that Allah will repay him his reward in full on the day when he needs it the most. He said, it has come reported by some of the people in the passage, they said, أَنَّهُ يَتَمَنَّ أُنَاسٌ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ لَوْ أَنَّ جُلُودَهُمْ كَانَتْ تُقْرَضُ بِالْمَقَارِيذِ لِمَا يَرَوْنَ مِنْ ثَوَابِ أَهْلِ الْبَلَاءِ. And this is actually an authentic hadith, graded to be Hassan by Shaykh al-Albani, that some people on the day of judgment, they will wish that they could go back to the dunya to have their skin and be filled with hooks, so they could be tortured and have hooks placed all over their bodies because of what they see of the reward of the people who were tested on the day of judgment. Some people will wish to go back to the world so they could be tortured in the most hideous way, so that they could come back on the day of judgment and be rewarded like they see the people being rewarded who were afflicted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who were patient with that. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them what is better than that. He said, likewise, the 10th thing from the 11 things is that a person realizes mashhadul uswa, and that he sees that in doing so, the intelligent, he sees that in doing so, that he is following the examples of the messengers of Allah, alayhimu salatu wa salam, and the prophets of Allah, alayhimu salatu wa salam, and the allies of Allah who came before him, and those who are most special to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the creation. فَإِنَّهُمْ أَشَدُّ الْخَلْقِ امْتِحَانًا بِالنَّاسِ, because they were the people who were tested the most by the people. And the harms of the people towards them, أَسْرَعُ مِنَ السَّيْلِ فِي الْحُدُورِ, yani that the harms of the people towards them came quicker to them than the flood water in reaching its farthest point, than rushing flood water. He said that the affliction of the people who were establishing the religion, that they were tested quicker than flood water and than rushing flood water. He said, and it is enough for him to ponder over the stories of the prophets and the messengers of Allah alayhim salatu wasalam, and the harms that they encountered at the hands of their enemies. He said, and you can find that some of the ulama in the past, they wrote books, like Ibn Abdul Barr. He wrote a book, the scholar, the Maliki scholar of Muslim Spain, he wrote a book called Mihanul Ulama, the test of the ulama, the test of the scholars. We know that the scholars are the people who are tested the most from amongst the creation. Look at the biography of those who revived the religion, like Imam Ahmed ibn Hanbal. Look at the affliction that he went and how he was whipped and beat at the hands of the rulers for saying, and for rejecting the statement that the Quran was created. Because Allah, in the Quran, he said that the Quran is his words. The Quran is his words, and it is not something that is created. And so when people came and they said the Quran was something created, Imam Ahmed, he stood against the people of misguidance who tried to force his belief down the throats of the Muslims after the third generation of Muslims. And there was a beautiful story that was reported. They said, that Abdullah, the son of Imam Ahmed, he used to say, Rahim Allahu Abul Haytham. Ghaffar Allahu li Abul Haytham. He said, my father, he used to say, may Allah have mercy upon Abul Haytham. May Allah forgive Abul Haytham. And he said, Ya Abi, man Abul Haytham. Who is Abul Haytham? And who is this man that you keep asking Allah, making dua for? He said, on one occasion, when I was taken out to the people to be whipped, when I was taken out to the king's vanguard to be whipped and to be beat in public, he said, a man pulled on my garment from behind me. And he said, do you know who I am? He said, I don't know who you are. He said, I am Abul Haytham. He said, I am Abul Haytham. I am a horrible criminal and a thief. He said, I have been whipped in the records of the Amir al-Mu'mineen. I have been whipped, I believe he said, over 10,000 times. He said, وَصَبَرْتُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. He said, and I was patient in all of that. I was patient in all of that. فِي تَعَةُ الشَّيْطَان مِنْ أَجْلِ الدُّنْيَا. He said, I was patient in being beat like that for obeying the shaitan for the sake of my dunya. He said, فَصْبِرْ أَنْتَ. So you be patient in obedience to Allah for the sake of the deen. Allah Akbar. The ulama, they were tested. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah died in prison. You don't find a scholar in his era, 100 years before that, or 100 years after that, or almost any scholar in the history of Islam who was more respected than Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahmatullahi alayhi. You find that the ulama, they were tested like that. People tried to assassinate them. People tried to kill them. People imprisoned them. People lied against them, so on and so forth. Who cares? It was for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Imam ibn al-Qayyim, he said that when we were in the prison with Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, who was his teacher, he said, it was very difficult upon me. He said, and Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he told me some words that comforted me. He said, make your heart like a piece of glass and don't make it like a sponge. He said, a piece of glass, it is firm, but you can see what is behind it. Don't make your heart like a sponge. Don't internalize everything. Don't internalize everything and bottle things up. So the ulama, whatever the case, the ulama warathatul anbiya. The ulama, the scholars, they are the inheritors of the prophets, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about them. The scholars are the inheritors of the prophets. And from what they inherited from the prophets was the harm of the creation towards the truth and the people of the truth. The last thing and the 11th thing is that a person that he witnesses that this is from the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That he observes the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُوَ أَجَلُّ الْمَشَاهِدُ وَأَرْفَعُهَا. He said that he witnesses that this is from singling out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship. And this is from the most important and lofty of things that he can observe. So when his heart is filled with the love of Allah and sincerity towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his sake, wa ithari mardatihi, and preferring the pleasure of Allah over everything, and preferring closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over everything, and finding coolness for his eye and satisfaction with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, finding comfort with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, watma'anna ilayh. And when a person finds repose and tranquility, as long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with him and he is doing something pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, washtaqa ila liqa'ihi, and he finds an anxiousness to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the harms that he encounters from the creation. So when he realizes that, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a person who was like that to be his ally to the exception of all others, and that he has surrendered all of his affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is pleased with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he doesn't see himself, and all he sees and all he thinks about is how much he loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and hopes for the mercy and forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over everything else. He said that when he is like that, when his heart is like that, when his heart is filled with this tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this worship of Allah in his heart, he said, then there will not remain any place in his heart to even think about the harms of the creation towards him. But how far away are we from this? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those يَسْتَمِعُونَ قَوْلًا فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنًا. And you hear something and follow the best of what they heard. If I said anything that was correct, and that was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it was a blessing. If I said anything incorrect, it was from myself or the shaitan, and Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are free and innocent of that. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه.